Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
I'm not playing in your league unless I can draft myself.
Outside of football, I live a pretty boring life.
With Matt Harmon.
This is an anti-getting greedy podcast here.
Been seeing you guys' podcast kind of blowing up here recently, so glad to get on.
It's Friday, February 10th. What a treat joining us here on Radio Row. It's Eckler's Edge, baby. It's Austin Eckler.
This is like the Super Bowl of Eckler's Edge right
here.
Yeah.
This is the real Super Bowl.
This is the real Super Bowl.
Everybody mostly came for this. And then there's like a little game.
Right. You can't even see behind the cameras. Thousands of thousands of people that I can't even imagine.
Please. Austin will sign all of your autographs after this, but we have to get through the show. The throngs of fans here.
All right, let's get into it.
What's going on, buddy? It's been a minute.
Man, it's been a minute. You know, yeah, unfortunately, it's been a minute. You know, if we would have kept winning games, maybe we could have kept going, you know. But heading it short for us, as you know, in a dramatic fashion.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Probably the most dramatic fashion that it can possibly end. Hopefully never have to relive that moment ever again. Hopefully that never comes down to that. But yeah, been good, moved on from it, and off to getting better for next year.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, do we even want to talk about that? Do you want to talk about that? Actually, let's do the question that you don't want to answer, because I've been asking everybody that we talked to on Radio Row, and it definitely makes sense.
You've been here a few days.
I've been here for so long. I'm so sick of hearing the sound of my own voice.
All right, so I'll take over. So yeah, I've been doing I did like 12 or 13 interviews yesterday, and you get tired of hearing a few questions. Matt asked me before the show, like, do you have a question? And I was like, I have a few. And then they started coming to me. It's like, okay, now I got my top 10.
Give us your top five.
Top five. Number one is definitely the Jags game, because I'm like over it.
Yeah.
But it's like people want to hear about it. I'm like, okay. Number two is the Super Bowl prediction, because it's like I have guys that I'm rooting for on both sides.
Yeah.
So like I got some buddies. So I'm like, I'm just rooting for those guys to play well.
You're like Mrs. Kelsey. You can't make. We talked to her the other day. She's like, she couldn't make a game pick, of course, because there's two sons.
She doing the whole tour. Like she's been like making the rounds. I heard
she was a great interview. Gave us her. You can find the video. I'll probably post it on Twitter if it's not already up there. She gave us her secret ingredient to her cookies recipe.
Wow.
She told us which son was better at cleaning their room growing up. Who was better like helping out in the kitchen? Who took care of
the full breakdown?
Yeah. Oh. 100%.
Wow. Well, good for her. Good for her. Living up the moment. Yeah, that's pretty incredible. Having both your sons playing against each other in the Super Bowl. Like, that's like a dream come true. Another question. You know, any questions? It's like five questions in one. Any questions about Justin Herbert? I'm like, I know he's a stud, but they're like, hey, what does he got to do to grow? Like, how is it playing with him? All this stuff is like, dude's a G, man. He's a quarterback. Like, he's my teammate. We go out there. We ball out together. But I feel like I get that question every single time, and it's just it's one of those that just like okay, and it's like
let me pull out the script.
Let me read it over, and so yeah, we'll go with those for now.
Okay, that's a pretty good top three. We won't discuss any of those, and yeah, it is funny like talking about the Jags game for you. That was so long ago. You've moved on emotionally, I'm sure.
Exactly. And then people are like, how do you get over that? And I'm just like, well,
I'm
over it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like this is football. I've dealt with loss and wins, you know, for my entire life. You know, some are more dramatic than others. And so that was definitely a dramatic one. But guess what? You move on because you got to go with what's next.
You know what helps you move on? Not talking about it a bunch. Not just revisiting it over and over and over again. So we're definitely not going to do that here. But, I mean, we do want to check in with you, man. Like you said, it's been a few weeks. What's going on with you? Any news to break? Anything happen in your world?
So, I mean, really, this is my transformation from right out of season. But there's this like little stretch where we have playoffs where it's still relevant. So we do a lot of activations and stuff. And so when this week ends is really when my content and stuff and my off-season programming really starts up. So I'm excited. I got another a content series I'm going to be starting. Mm. I was telling you a little bit about it.
I'm excited about this.
Yeah. So basically what I'm going to be doing is following my journey back into getting into shape. And how I'm going to make it interesting is I'm going to do a combine testing for myself, the Eckler version. There's no 225 reps. It's 315 reps on the bar. 405 bench squat, squat max, and then also the 40 and stuff like that. And so be able to measure that, right? Follow my training regimen. I'll post one video a week just talking about what I do and things like that to get myself back into shape, and then do a testing, you know, before fall camp. So I'm excited for that journey. Some other journey, obviously the app's going on, building a weight room for Long Beach Poly High School right now with the foundation. And so really, this is when I get busy. Like I like to say, like when season starts, I get to finally kind of relax and just focus on football. And then when season stops, it's like, okay, back to building mode, right? Building up all the platforms.
Yeah, I told you earlier, we're like cut from the same cloth where people is like, oh, season's over. You must really, it must be real relaxed. I'm like, now this is when like I look at the fact I've got like 70 receivers to start charting, like game film to break down.
So you have a lot to catch up on then. Or what?
Yeah, being here, man, doing all this talking, like now lock me back in my film room and keep the voice clean for a few weeks. That's really what I'm excited about. But yeah, a lot of big things going on for you. I'm excited about this Eckler combine thing, essentially, especially the 40, because I'm always curious, like where guys are at different points in their career. Were you invited to? Were you to go to the combine?
I didn't go to the combine. I did a pro day though, and I ran a 4.43 at the pro day. So
4.43. So what you think you're gonna?
I'm hoping I can stay in the 4.4s. Right now, I probably get a 4.5 just based off of my downward trajectory of my peak performance of my muscle structure during the season. So that's what the offseason's for, to build that back up, to get back to peak, and then you try to maintain as much as you can. But there is, I would say, a decline, which is imaginable. You're getting hit, on every weekend. So your body doesn't really have time to repair and heal. So we'll see.
We're all in decline, really.
4.4. Very, very true. We were talking about some dark humor.
We are all in steady decline.
Right. The peak days are in the past for us. But hey, we're mentally, we're still flourishing, so.
Mentally sharper than ever. Can I tell you something new in my life?
Yeah. What's going on, man?
This is for the show. This is for the pod too. Yeah. I haven't officially broken this on the podcast yet.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Wait a minute. Let's go. You have joined the brotherhood.
Well,
you have joined the brotherhood of being the bald.
Actually, just
the bald brotherhood.
Just keep it off now at this point.
You shaved it.
Dude, well, after you called yourself bald Jesus, I was like, let me get in on the cult. The
first loyal follower.
Yeah. Where
oh God.
Where do we mount our church?
Let's go. Well, that was a comedian over here now. He's on one right now.
It was time.
Oh man.
A lot of different reasons, but
so wait, yeah. So what was the real motive?
Well, a couple motives. Number one, it's thinning back. This back here was where it was really going.
This is the first time you've ever committed it and shaved it all off.
Oh yeah. No, that's not true. Actually, I used to have really long hair in high school. And then one day in college, I was like, just buzz it. But like going all the way to the studs. Yeah.
I see you with long hair. Long hair, the beard, like come down to here,
No, I mean, this was like down.
Oh, like.
Yeah,
like
but I didn't have the beard then. I was in high school. I didn't have the.
Yeah, I could see you with the top and it's a pony, like kind of like Kittle has.
Like Kittle?
Yeah. And then you shaved the sides.
I pitched that to my wife and
she wouldn't have that one.
No, I said, what if I had hair like George Kittle? And she's like, what if you were single?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess no,
right,
but
that's no go then.
But yeah, I did shave it. I feel good about it.
Yeah. Awesome, man.
It's honestly the most freeing thing I've ever done.
Yeah. So is your head cold now?
Oh yeah. I'm putting the hat.
The hat back. Yeah. That's the main thing is the head. I'm used to it at this point, but yeah, the head gets cold for sure.
So yeah, that's my breaking news.
Nice,
you're talk about being in decline, I'm definitely in decline. I'm losing my hair. Meanwhile, you're back to running a 40.
Look, you decline in some things, you get raised in others, right? In the knowledge, the life experience, right? You can always build your body back up to some point. When you're not getting hit, it always helps.
Well, when we talk about fitness and motivation and stuff like that, it's a pretty big motivator to like stay in good shape and like try to get ripped when you're bald. For me, because it's like, well, the hair was a pretty good asset, so I got to make up. Like you said, decline in some ways, get stronger in other ways. So I'm looking to keep bulking up more in the off season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to me, it's always beach body season. I'm actually starting a 10-minute ab group as well on Twitch.
Oh yeah, where can we watch the combine stuff?
I'll be posting it everywhere. I'll post small clips here and there, but YouTube is where the bigger video will be, probably like 5 to 6 minutes long, and then we'll put the small clips up on Instagram, Twitter, things like that. So It'll be all over the place.
Yeah. Maybe I'll have to tune in for one of these 10-minute ad things in the
Twitch. Tune in for any of it, man. There's going to be a lot of content coming, so I'm excited, right? I'm keeping the Eckler's edge, right? It's fading now, right? Season's over. Boom, let's get something else going, right? You got to pick it up. What's the content change for you, like, during the off-season?
So, like I said, in off-season, I mostly I'm still going to be doing the podcast.
Yeah.
It's just, like, more like two times a week as opposed to
the fantasy,
5 days a week. Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast, which, you know, Eckler's edge.
Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
It's a mouthful.
Yahoo, come on. We got to do something about this. Can we please get a shorter name? Shorter name. Come on. Okay, I had to put it out there. Anyway.
You're speaking my language,
bro. All right, hey, I'll say it for you. All right.
Well, Brett and I will discuss it this offseason. Brett and I will be in on name discussions.
Oh, Brett's coming in.
Brett's coming in.
Stop killing me, guys.
All Brett just saw was a mountain of work. That's about
likes the names of any of our pods.
a mountain of legal work and meeting with lawyers and stuff like that. That's what Brett just saw flash before his eyes.
All right. When you said all that. We'll keep the name.
But yeah, no, mostly what I'm doing in the offseason, I spent a lot of time, like I said, doing the charting for reception perception and you know, going back and watching the game film for all these receivers and prospects too. That's what people love the most probably this time of year is to, you know, folks are like banging down my door in like December, like, yeah, what's the Jackson Smith and Jigba reception perception? What's that? I'm like,
nice.
Let me get to the offseason.
They got to know. They want to know which rookies to draft, right?
Yeah.
I think it's something that I've come to have an interest in as well. It's kind of just seeing some of these rookies that are coming out. Maybe, you know, just reach out my hand and see if they want to, you know, have some type of sit down conversation, whether it's on a podcast, whether it's, you know, just, you know, one-on-one outside of football as well too, just to kind of help these guys make that transition and just kind of give them some insight, just especially for my journey and how far it's come and where I'm at now. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing these rookies,
especially rookie wideouts. It's been a pretty big trend the last 2 years that, you know, these guys don't start super fast, but they can be like legit fantasy league winners in the second half of the year when they, like we talked about, Justin Fields, the interview is going to be on the pod, but we talked to him before this, like once they get the terminology down, once they get the language down to the offense and, you know, they transition from college route concepts to more pro route concepts. These guys like Christian Watson, good example with the Packers this year, you know, pretty much did nothing in the first half of the year, but once he kind of got that timing and rhythm and maybe trust with Rodgers, he was putting up big numbers to end the year.
It takes a while. Like, it's not just you come in and then you start playing. And like, there's guys that have been playing for 6 years in front of you, 5 years in front of you, 2 years in front of you, right? Just a year in front of you makes such a big difference from the mental aspect. You might be more physically gifted than someone, and that might give you opportunities. But for you to actually catch up and be on the same page as far as how an offense is run in the NFL, it takes time. And it's not only time, but it takes experience, too, that you can't get unless you're actually, like, playing the sport. So you're not getting – you can study the playbook as much as you want outside in the offseason, but unless you're getting on the field with your quarterback, right, like Justin said, he was going to be getting on, you know, just getting the mesh with some of his younger guys. Like, you got to go out there and actually be running the routes together. You got to be in the offseason, like, being together. That's going to help you – that's going to help you make those leaps and bounds as a rookie getting into your program. So that's stuff like that I want to talk to them about. Like, hey, if you can get in the group chats, find out where the team's at and make sure you're around that, because it's just going to help you get acclimated a lot faster.
And different coaches have different expectations too for you. I remember this great story about Sean Payton, who's in your division now, that like he is so specific about receiver depth, like with their routes and stuff, that he would go out to, you know, if it needed to be an 8-yard route, he'd go out to the 8-yard line and throw his hat down and be like, do not go inch past this. And like, guys don't know that until they experience it on the practice field and the more and more. And like, then it's just body rep.
Well, there's also emotion that goes into that too, right? When your head coach is out there, right? Your head coach, not even your receiver coach, is out there seeing like, you can't go past this. It's like, that has a lot of weight that holds with it on your emotions. Like, okay, like this is my job, you know, my longevity of my job depends on me getting to my right depth, right? You know, the seriousness of the details, you know, so.
And when you're younger too, I don't do this as much anymore, but I know when I was younger, I was like, somebody told me not to do something that, like, now I got to focus on not doing it. I got to focus on not doing it. And then you end up doing it. You know, it's like when you're like, when you're a kid and your mom's like, don't touch that hot stove.
Right.
And then
curious, and you're curious, like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen if I do. And then
you touch and you find out.
You get burned. You definitely get burned. It's part of the growing process. You go through growing pains, as I call it. Right.
Yeah.
You
know? So I'm excited to check out these rookies. But talking about offensive transitions, new offensive coordinator for the Chargers, Kellen Moore, coming over from the Dallas Cowboys. I know there's a lot of people excited about it. you know, how did you feel when you heard the news about Lombardi and then the move to Kellen Moore?
Yeah, you know, I've actually had this a couple times, and it's like I've just thought about it. It's like, we were trending up with Joe, like the past 2 years, right? Barely missed the playoffs, right? And then we finally get into the playoffs with him as our offensive coordinator. And like, to me, I'm like, oh, yeah, like we're trending in the right direction. That's what you want, right? But for, you know, some reasons, you know, organizations make moves, whether it's for chemistry, maybe they want to try something new. And so, yeah, we get Kellen Moore, right? Who's kind of had the same thing, I feel like, with Dallas, right? Yeah. Where he's in the top categories as far as statistics for his offense and doing this and that and this. And it's like, well, they got rid of him too. So it's like, oh, maybe we're doing this new shuffle, right? To see if a new chemistry will work out for us. Obviously we have a lot of playmakers on offense. And so it's like, okay, let's see if we can put, you know, a new style of coaching with our playmakers together to make some type of chemistry, which is what it takes. It takes the meshing of our coordinator, the play calling, and then all of our talent to go out there and actually get it done and get it executed. And so, yeah, I had no bad things to say about Joe. You know, scored 40 touchdowns underneath the guy. So,
right,
you know,
yeah.
How could I, you know, like this man, like I was efficient, I feel like, in his offense, and I enjoyed that. You know, we made some pretty good runs. We were in the middle of the pack. We're trying to separate, right? But I feel like there's other factors that really played into that, considering we lost our top three receivers in the first, you know, whatever weeks, 2-3 weeks.
O-line injuries.
Yeah. A defensive injury. And so the fact that we got to where we were, I was like, yeah, like we got a crew here. We're finding ways to get it done. And to me, it's like, what do you want from a coach? You want a coach that gives you a chance to get to the playoffs, right? And then when you get in the playoffs, okay, now we can, you know, address that from there. And so, you know, we got Kellen, you know, obviously they made the playoffs. So boom, he's got that resume. So, all right, that's the guy who's going to be able to give us a chance. And now hopefully we can go beyond that.
Yeah. I think you said at different points, like throughout the show this year that, hey, if like certain expectations aren't met, like changes will be made, you know,
yeah.
And stuff like that. So I think obviously some in the organization felt that there was meat left on the bone and they hope Kellen's the guy who can come.
Yeah,
pull the meat off the rib.
It's crazy because if you're average or just good, your job is up for jeopardy. Like,
yeah,
the only way your job is not if you're great. Like you're great, then okay, you're established, right?
Yeah.
They're gonna pay you. They're gonna lock you into a contract. You're good. You're probably still gonna be on vet minimum. You know, I got a lot of buddies that are good at playing football, and it's like they get a one year deal, right? Because they're like, we can't really fully commit on you, but we like having you around, and so it's like that weird spot where it's like you're above average but not like lock you into a full contract type player. And the same thing with coaches, like you might be good, but it's like we have a position right now where we have so much talent on the team, it's like we need something to push us over the edge. So it might not even been all Joe's fault, right?
Yeah.
It's the whole team that puts together, but they're like, all right, well, let's try something else, let's try something new, and he might have got the fault because of that. And so obviously I'm not in on those conversations, but you know, I loved having Joe there, and then, you know, hopefully it's a good mesh with Kellen.
Yeah, as we talk about, like, with Justin Herbert, not that you want to sit here and be like, he's great, he's awesome.
Hang on a second, I got it in my pocket.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Unbelievable arm talent, can make plays on the move, all that, you know, cannon for a right arm.
Very smart, dedicated.
You know,
he's
been
learning, you know, he's getting experience. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shoulder surgery, I didn't even, damn.
On his off shoulder.
Yeah.
On his left one.
Yeah, but still, I mean, I didn't, it's just like,
yeah, it still
you never
sucks.
Know what's going on.
Yeah.
But my point in saying that is, like, when you have a guy like that, it's like being good isn't good enough, you know? You got to be great, and there's a lot that goes into it. And
there is. It takes a village, right? It's not just one person's fault. Like, even if I go back to the Jags game, like,
you don't have to go back.
I know, but it's a good example. It's the most recent. Like, we're up 27-0 at one point in the game. There's not one side of the ball that can just lose you that big of a lead, right? It's going to be all of us. Like, offense apparently didn't do anything. We only scored 3 points in the second half. Defense was giving up big plays in the second half, right? Special teams, I think we missed a field goal. And then so it's like all of us had our hand in that. Maybe better plays could have been called. We probably could have played better in that second half. We definitely could have. And so it's like the village helped us build it up, but also we tore it down together as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard to pinpoint, be like, this is the problem, get him out of here, you know, type of thing, because it's so many factors. And so, you know, some people, and just in life in general, have to take, they get moved out, and the other people get moved in for them, and it's like, are you the sacrificial lamb? Maybe you were, you know? So
I feel like people often don't want to accept that, like, both things can be true.
Yeah.
But it's so true in life, it's so true in football.
Yeah.
This is definitely one of those things in football, it's like, It's a life lesson, you know.
Yeah.
It's not always just one thing that's led you to this point, whether that point is good or bad. It can be a variety of different things.
And just going back, this is so like integrated into life and what we do. You know, there's sometimes where it's like we don't know. Well, a lot of times we don't know the full picture. There's changes that are made for reasons maybe beyond the knowing of us, right? Based off that information that we know, maybe there are motives that have changed. And so regardless, there's going to be change, and that change brings new opportunities. Like all the people, all my coaches that I have right now have been there because the coaches before them were fired. Right. Yeah. And so it's like we've been able to build that because there was change. Right. And so now we're making another change. We'll see how it plays out. And so change is not a bad thing. Change is actually really good. It's how you adapt. It's how you learn about yourself. And so, like I said, you know, I wish the best for Joe. I know he'll, you know, be picked up somewhere else and, you know, he'll be, you know, a part of football for forever, you know, just ingrained in his blood. But yeah, you know, that's the fluid movement of the NFL, right? The mix up, right? The change. And so Kellen coming in, let's hope we can make it 25 touchdowns next year.
Shoot, let's hope that's in the script, pal.
Yeah, I know, I know. We get him next week, you know, after the Super Bowl. So I'll let you know.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, yeah. If you can you send me an advanced copy of the script?
No, because then I'll get the injury script. No, I just play. There's no script, people. There's no script. Get this out of your mind.
Was that not the most like amazing?
Yeah,
the conspiracy theory ever, though.
That is great. Well, it's just because, man, the NFL is so unpredictable.
Yeah,
like, so unpredictable, and so like he's. Look at our game. Our game's like the perfect example of football.
Yeah.
You know, of how crazy it is, exciting it is, how things can drastically change like that. It's like ups and downs and emotions and woos and no's and all of it at one time. You're like, you know, so that's why people are glued to it. People are betting on it. People are invested in it. We got fans flying in from everywhere, right? All the TVs, you know, and so.
All this nonsense going on here, right,
is all justified because of this amazing sport and the depth to it. And so, man, yeah, there's no script. It's just the thing that makes it as exciting is because all of us care so much about it. And we all go so hard that when it's like what we thought was supposed to happen doesn't happen, we're like, there's got to be a reason behind it, you know? And so now the conspiracies stick, and it's kind of funny because it's like, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it is such a crazy, unpredictable sport, but that's why we love it. And sometimes you just, like, people don't want to accept that life is just unpredictable sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Like, no one likes to lose either.
Yeah.
So if their team loses, like, nah.
There had to be a reason.
It was the refs.
It was this guy.
Yeah. It was, you know, they got to, like, define it by putting it on somebody, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with fantasy, where it's like, you lost me my game because you didn't score 30 points, you know? And it's like, we need something to blame, right?
100%.
It's human nature.
That is definitely human nature. One of the flaws of human beings, that's for sure. Well, that was great talk on human nature.
Yeah,
I'm sure we could really, really existential stuff from us today. let's throw it to our interviews here that we did on Radio Row. We got some absolute heaters for you guys to check out. All right, excited to be joined by one of my favorites, Stefon Diggs. Stefon, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, bro? Thanks for having me on. I know it's early. Good morning, man.
You know how it is. Radio Row, you go all day, man.
Mm-hmm. Ready to go.
It's like day three, like day six for Matt. They all run together.
I'm very much sick of the sound of my own voice. I hope other people are not, though. Hey, we've been asking everybody that comes on, you know, we know you did a ton of interviews yesterday, today. What's the one question that you've been getting that you're sick of being asked?
I ain't sick yet, so I don't know.
Okay.
It just started, so it's fresh. I'll let you know though real soon. Maybe you'll ask it.
That's what I'm trying to avoid, man.
I'm just messing. It's all good.
Well, I'll give you one of mine that sticks out. The Super Bowl prediction.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, you know.
We're not supposed to care. But,
exactly. Yeah, so exactly.
I get it.
So, wait, so you have one then?
Yeah, I think the Kansas City Chiefs probably going to win.
Chiefs are? Mm-hmm. See, I've been leaning towards the Eagles.
That makes sense.
All right.
You played the Eagles?
No, we didn't play them.
Oh.
We played Chiefs twice, though.
And well, I know.
Bro, they're so sticky, man. They just stick around, bro. You know, so. But anyway.
What a mess. Well, you're here on behalf of Downey.
Yeah.
Tell us what you got going on with them.
I'm here on behalf of Downey Unstoppables. They pick me because, you know, I try to dress fresh and clean. You know what I'm saying? They keep you fresh and clean. They smell amazing. If you don't believe me, you can sniff it yourself.
Oh, wow.
We got samples.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Sheesh.
I mean, it smells incredible.
There we go.
All right.
The product right now.
It's actually,
it keeps me smelling halfway decent.
There you go.
Halfway decent, best that we can hope for, right?
There we
go.
There we go.
You mentioned Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
They're in the Super Bowl. AFC, man, tough run this postseason. You guys Had a strong performance against Miami Dolphins, faltered against the Cincinnati Bengals. Mm-hmm. Where are we feeling about the Bills as the season ends here?
It's a little rough right now, especially considering everything that happened throughout this year. You know, we battled a lot of trials and tribulations, a lot of adversity. You know, every year is a different year, you know, as you know. So it's definitely in that spot of, you know, we had everything we wanted in front of us and came a little short. So you're definitely going to be frustrated and a little bit, you know, feeling away about it. But until then, got to get back to the drawing board, kind of figure out what's what, figure out what makes sense.
Let me ask you this, because I get this question. It's, how do you, I guess, analyze your season as a successful season? Are you like, hey, it's Super Bowl or bust? Or is it like how do you analyze the success of your season?
I mean, I feel like it also depends on what kind of team you have. You know, we've had a group that's kind of been together for a while. You know, of course, like at this point, we don't want nothing but a Super Bowl ring. So right. It's like, of course, it's like, necessarily not Super Bowl or bust, but that's all you're aiming for. That's all anybody's aiming for. You know, different teams are in different circumstances. Like, say, for instance, you have 8-8 or 500 right. team. It's like, right. yeah, you just want to do better than you did last year. Right. The closer you get, the more you feel obligated to win a Super Bowl. So it's like, we've been close for 3 years in a row. So it's like this. All right, now. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. what we're doing? What's going on here? Yeah. We got to figure out what's what or figure out why we're not getting over the hump.
For sure.
And it's tough. Only one team wins it every year. Yeah. So
if you fall, if it's not one of them, it's what?
Right, 31
other teams. Are bust. Like, yeah, you ain't doing right. Right. Something ain't right over there. So.
Now, yeah, it's definitely different teams are in different spots. You mentioned, obviously, that you guys are – you've been close right there. You know, we talked to you – or I talked to you before the season, and then we talked to Josh in the middle of the year. I feel like your guys' connection from an on-field standpoint really took another jump this year. Like, you know, we see quarterback and wide receiver connections that have been together for a long time. Like, I always come back to Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. Like, those guys had a mind meld by the time right before they split up. Did you and Josh kind of get on that page this year where – listen, he knows what you're doing, you know what he's doing, and it just goes out there and you're in sync?
Yeah, I mean, at times, yes. You know, throughout this year, it was a crazy year, especially for us. I feel like it was a little weird dynamic because the first 9 games, we had like a real like formula and recipe on how we were winning. And then that last iteration on towards the back end, we kind of were just kind of figuring out ways to win, which wasn't bad for us, but kind of got us away from what we were consistently doing. You know, so for me, I feel like at times, yeah, and then other times we kind of got away from it. So we carried that same team in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of like playing left-handed or figuring out ways to win, it's not necessarily a bad spot, but you're not necessarily back to being like who you built to be at identity throughout the season. So we definitely had success, a lot of success. I feel like it was more out there for us because, you know, especially with that last game and how it ended. We had a lot more football to play, but, you know, back to the drawing board, I guess.
It's crazy to me to listen to teams. Like, you guys, what, lost 3 games in the regular
yes.
season? Right? They play at such a high level. You guys are playing at such a high level. And you hear talking about him going through adversities. We're trying to find get ways to win. They only lost 3 games in the regular season where we were in the middle of the pack, right? Yeah. We're barely winning games out here. We're trying to find – the only way we're winning is by barely winning. Like, trying to find a way to win. You know, that was just our identity. Yeah. We had a bunch of adversities, injuries, all this stuff that were holding us back. And so it's just crazy to hear the mindset because – regardless if you're on the top, if you're in the middle or you're the bottom, it's the same thing. We're all going through adversities trying to find a way to be consistent and win, man.
It's so tough. Just the AFC is tough.
Yeah.
In my opinion, the AFC is more tough division. Yes. Yeah. We got some of the best teams. I'm not saying the NFC doesn't have teams, but you're playing a lot of talent consistently in that AFC, and I feel like you lose 3 games, people don't want you to lose at all. You know what I'm saying? If you're in the middle, it's kind of like not a bad spot to be in, but it's like, all right, we expect them. They're going to have a couple good games. And you know what I'm saying? It's just, I guess when you lead them from the front, it's just like, all right, you're supposed to win. We expect you to win. I feel like we were the dark horse and everybody really was betting on us to really go like, all right, this is the year. You know what I'm saying? That would have been a perfect fairy tale story, but, you know, this is the real, real world. You know, it's a lot of other teams competing at a high level, giving it everything they got.
Y'all had some wild games, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys, for sure. you guys helped the ratings for sure this year. I'll say that.
Well, you had a good script.
Yeah, for sure. I was part of the script. That's all. You just part of the script.
We all are, right?
Yeah. I mean, shout out to you guys for that. I could never do those lines. You know, I could never just hit the script that. I'm more of an improver. So
me too.
I guess that's why I didn't make it as an NFL player. You know, that's probably what it was.
Coachable. Okay.
And yeah, AFC, man, there's so many good quarterbacks, right? Like, I mean, that's the crazy thing. We talk about Super Bowl or bust. Like, with guys like Mahomes, Allen, you know, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, like so one of these guys is like not going to win like 2 Super Bowls. Like it's really hard to win 100%. 2, you know, and that's crazy to think that we're going to get to a point looking back on these guys' careers, and they're all so young still at this point, all these guys 100%. Are. And you guys are still young. I'm the old ass man here on the stage. It's just crazy to think like in career retrospect, like what the amount of strength right now in the quarterback position in that conference?
We'll have like the next 10 years of good quarterback play, barring no injuries from those guys. It's just like you see them play at a high level, and it's like, damn, like have we seen football played at this high of a level since football has started, or other quarterbacks? I've seen some great quarterbacks. I'm not going to say I haven't, but this many at one time and so young, I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, I feel like it's like the new wave, right? Yes. Like you went through like Manning, Breeze, you know.
Brady.
Both Mannings.
Yeah, both Mannings. Yeah. And all these, and I feel like now we're in this new wave of quarterbacks, the older version, right? Because these quarterbacks, man, they play for so long, right? So you get established.
It seems like we got used to Big Ben until we didn't see Big Ben no more.
Right.
I'm like,
exactly.
I thought he was going to play forever.
Yeah, I know. Well. Felt like he did play. He played for a damn long time. That's for sure. That's a long, long time. Hey, we're gonna get you out of here. One last question here. We got to ask you about DeMar and seeing him make this. You know, I'm not gonna say full recovery, or anything like that, because we still got a long way to go. But man, seeing him on the stage this weekend, how big of a moment has that been?
Like a moment of rejoice, a moment of triumph. It's just like all the prayers were answered. You know what I'm saying? Throughout the world, everybody who put the good energy in the world, it came back to us. You know what I'm saying? It kind of gave you hope again that, you know what I'm saying, if you pray hard and long, you ask God, he'll make some things happen. You know what I'm saying? He'll make them happen at his pace, of course. So we're just thankful for it, thankful to see him, you know, thankful to see him just alive and well, like just normal again. And it's just like, all right, a moment of everybody can have a sigh of relief. Like,
absolutely.
Feels great, man. Hey, appreciate your time, Stephon. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you for having me. Thank you so much. Thanks, bro. Appreciate
you.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate you. Excited now to be joined by Bears quarterback Justin Fields. Justin, what's going on, man?
Not much. How y'all doing? Doing all right?
Doing good. No complaints. Yeah. You've been busy. A lot of interviews.
Yeah. I mean, you know, day two today. So this is number two for me today. And then, you know, I'll probably have a few afterwards. So, yeah.
Austin and I are curious. What is the one question that you've been asked that you're sick of being asked?
You know, of course, we have the number one pick next year. So asking me what I would do with the pick, you know, if I were the GM. But, you know, I just keep saying that it's not my job. My job is to play football. So, you know,
yeah,
that's probably the one question.
I feel that. I feel like. Yeah. I have like 10 questions that I don't want to be asked anymore, but you know, it's still the top questions. Well, we can save that for another time, but
We'll save that one. Hey, you're here on behalf of Marriott Bonvoy. Tell us a little bit about what you got going on.
Yeah. So, you know, Marriott Bonvoy, I got a chance last week to get together with a couple and kind of style them with three outfits, you know, for this week and this weekend. You know, one of the outfits was their airport outfit, you know, getting here. And the second one was for the NFL honors last night. And the third one was for the Super Bowl. And there's a courtyard, you know, house party. So, I mean, it was cool, you know, getting together with them and, you know, being able to, you know, share that moment with them. And, you know, Marriott Bonvoy, they've been, you know, allowing access to members to, you know, NFL events since 2016. So really just, you know, kind of started getting involved with that last year. So, I mean, it's been awesome just to getting to know everybody. And, you know, if you're a Marriott Bonvoy member, you can, you know, sign up or, you know, try to get into an event. I think the website's moments.marriottbonvoy.com. I think that's the website. But, yeah, if you guys are a Marriott Bonvoy number, try to get in those events for sure.
Shout out to Marriott.
Yes, sir.
I mean, a little style tips. That'd be nice. I could probably use the help.
I mean, I like the simple. You know, you got the button-down jeans.
What's up, brown boots. I feel like this is your style.
This is about as good as it gets, man. Yeah, so.
You go.
My girlfriend, luckily, is my stylist, so because I like that got a thing. Right, I appreciate it, man. Nice fit, I appreciate it. Yeah, shout out. Yeah, that's the Adidas shout out too. So.
I 100% texted my wife this morning and said, "Which hat with this shirt?" Like, you know, I have like five or six with me, so we could all use a little help. So shout out to you for helping the folks out there, Justin. I feel like right around maybe, was it after week six, week seven, that TNF game against the Washington Commanders, it felt like from that point on, you kind of became more a focal part of the Bears rushing game. Was that like a collaborative approach with you and offensive coordinator Luke Getsy, or how did that kind of come about?
Yeah, I think so. And of course, you know, last year was, you know, his first year being an offensive coordinator. So not many people think this or, you know, think of this perspective, but, you know, he has to learn what we did well as an offense, you know, what our offensive line did well, what our running backs did well, and what our receivers did well. So, I mean, you know, you have to go through preseason training camp and, you know, kind of just get a feel out in the game on how that is. And, you know, of course, after, you know, that Thursday night football game, like you said, we kind of got in a row scoring 30 points a game and stuff like that. So, I mean, it was awesome to see that. So, you know, hopefully next year we just hope to, you know, start fast like that and be able to maintain it throughout the whole year.
You know, it's one of the most annoying things, I think, when I'm on the sideline and we're playing a team and they have a mobile quarterback, like Justin, and everyone's locked down. And then all of a sudden you guys take off.
Especially on third down.
I'm like, God, like, can we, you know? And, you know, there's only one 1,000-yard rusher on set today. Yeah. You know, and
a spoiler alert, it's not me.
And it's not me either. You know, this man's getting it done. So good stuff, man. Heck
Appreciate you, bro.
No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, it's literally just math, right? Like, you don't even need to be a football expert to know, like, when a quarterback can run like that, it changes the, it changes the math for the defense. We got a guy in the Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts, who's kind of cut from that same cloth that, man, you can have the right answer for the receivers. You can have the right answer for the running game. And then, yeah, third down, the quarterback takes off. It's
legs
a backbreaker.
Come alive, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, what did you say? Brandon Staley says that in the
he always says the legs come alive. The quarterback's legs come alive in the red zone. Man. Yeah. But his red zone's the entire field, man. He's just running, and not just running, but making dudes miss, like, athletic, man. So I'm excited to see your career progress, man.
Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Justin, we talk a lot of fantasy football here on Eckler's Edge. Austin's really into the fantasy community, engaging with folks out there. Let me tell you what, when you get a quarterback rushing for 1,000 yards, that's a good thing in fantasy.
Yeah.
Did you get a lot of engagement from folks this year? What was your experience with the fantasy
community? I did. Of course, you know, on social media, I got a lot of mentions, got a lot of tags or whatever, comments saying that, you know, I saved their fantasy team. So, you know, I was happy to do that, happy to put up some points for them. And, you know, I think, you know, early in the year, I wasn't doing that. But, of course, you know, middle season to the end of the season, I was putting up points for all the fantasy owners out there that had me on their team. So, you know, that was awesome to do and, you know, awesome to, you know, see them when they're fantasy league.
Yeah, and let me give you this nugget, because there's a lot of ups and downs, and, you know, of how people feel about fantasy, you know. For me, like, I love fantasy, but not because of, like, I love to play the game and get people, like, oh, I want to win people's games, but because it's the easiest community to tap into that's right in front of us as NFL players.
Yeah.
There's millions of people that play fantasy football and bet on sports, right? And they're betting on us, right? And so it's like, man, that's low-hanging fruit for us to tap in and be like, hey, appreciate y'all fantasy owners, you know, once a week. And then, boom, they just embrace you. They lift you up on this pedestal.
Nah, for sure.
Especially when you can produce like yourself, you know,
in multiple ways. The only thing is when you don't produce like you're supposed to, so and
Look, you got to look through the
toxicity.
There you go.
Yeah,
You got to look through that you know, for the most part, there's people trying to support you because they're rooting for you because they're invested in you, literally, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can't get too invested. Just keep it from a 10,000 foot view. I appreciate everyone that's appreciating me, you know.
For sure.
Absolutely.
For sure. I'm the same
it's
way.
Probably 80% good, 20% bad.
Depends on the week.
Depends on the week. So
it's definitely perspective. Well, Justin, you know, there's been, again, I mentioned Jalen Hurts, like a, you know, guy on a rookie contract, ends up taking over for Carson Wentz. And this Eagles team is kind of built around him. Like, you know, they've stacked the deck to make his life easier. First round receiver and Devontae Smith. You know, they'll go out and trade for A.J. Brown. I know we're not going to ask you about what would you do with the number one pick, or anything like that. But the Bears do have a wealth of resources. How do you think this offense as a whole can kind of take the next step after the identity that you built last year?
I mean, I think, you know, just keep improving. You know, of course, there's going to be, you know, new guys on the team this year. So whoever does come on the team this year, just being able to come into training camp and, you know, learn the offense. And, you know, there are some guys that we got last year throughout the season in the midst of the season to where, you know, our offense is very complicated. So, you know, although they were, you know, running the plays, they weren't really tapped in on the details like that, because there's, I mean, this offense is so, you got to be so locked in onto the details. So it's going to be good, you know, for them to just, you know, be able to learn this offseason and, you know, be able to really kind of get the hang down of, you know, all the intricacies and all the details in our offense. So it's going to be awesome to see next year.
Yeah, that's one of the things I think is overlooked, right, from a fan's perspective.
Yeah.
Where it's like a fan's like, oh, why aren't they just, they have all these players, why are they not playing at this high level? It's not, you don't just go out there and play. Like, that's not how it works, right? We have to have this chemistry. We got to be on the same page. The timing, all of this stuff has to be down, right? And you have all these adversities throughout injuries, you know, through, you know, maybe you're having a good game, bad game, things like that. And so, yeah, the stuff you're talking about, you know, the offseason is huge for that, right? To build the chemistry, to get into, you guys have the same offensive coordinator coming back?
Yeah, we do.
So, yeah, get into the playbook. Now you guys can get a second year, another year of being around the same type of language, right?
Yeah.
And it just helps you solidify yourself as an offense so you can all be on the same page.
Yeah, and then last year, you know, once you probably noticed when guys don't really know the intricacies and details of the offense, they can't play confident. So they're not playing 100% at full speed. And, you know, that, you know, messes up the timing of the quarterback's feet and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's going to be, you know, awesome to see, you know, next year coming in with, you know, guys knowing the offense already, that they can play at 100%, you know, and, you know, fully confident.
Yeah.
what they're doing. So
language is a good way of putting it, and I think that's a good way for like fans to understand. Like guy like Chase Claypool gets traded to you guys in the middle of the season. I don't know the terminology of either offense, but I can tell you watching them on film, watching you guys on film, the route concepts are different, the route combinations are different. So it's like having to learn a whole new language in the middle of the year. I think that's a good way for people to understand it.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Justin, really appreciate your time today, man. This was awesome. We're rooting for you in year two and maybe another 1,000-yard season.
I mean, I hope I don't have to run that much. But
never that'd know. Be nice, never right? Know. That'd be nice,
for sure.
Yeah,
you get it done either way, man. That's what matters. Heck yeah, man. Thanks for coming on, brother.
Appreciate you guys.
Time, man.
Yep.
All right, hype now to be joined by Browns stud pass rusher Myles Garrett. Myles, what's going on, man?
Yeah, just taking it all in. I'm just trying to have a good time. How are y'all?
Doing well, man. I feel like that's what radio is about. Relax, you know, have some conversations, support some brands, right? Meet some new people. That's a good time. How's your journey been so far? Is your first day in? What's going on?
First day in. Just traveling, trying to take a trip around Phoenix and see all the sights. You know, I know I got some work and some business and pleasure along the way, but you know, it's my second time in Phoenix. I didn't really get to get out, so I was trying to get around, see some sights.
Pretty walkable city. I found really this is my first time like spending a lot of time in Phoenix. I've usually only drove through in the summer. Don't recommend doing that. This is a good time of year to be here.
You know, I'm a Dallas boy, so you know, I enjoy the heat, but I think if I can take a scooter, I'm gonna take a scooter. I don't get the chance pretty often.
Nice.
I'm not trying to walk, so we'll see what I can get into.
We like to ask people here, what's the question that you've been getting? And I guess you've only been here today, but maybe just in general, what's the question that you've been getting that you're sick of being asked?
How's your toe?
Yeah. Mm. So I've learned doing the show with this guy, like, don't be poking and prodding on the injuries all the time.
There's strategic ways to ask things, you know, like if your toe or you have some injury coming back, like, hey, like when do you think you're going to feel like best? Like, how's your progress been? Like, don't be like, hey, just like, what's going on? Like, get direct to it. Like, I feel like you have to like sugarcoat a little bit, you know? So I've been teaching Matt how to ask questions all year.
It's good to know. So I'm not one of these, you know, media goofballs just making a fool of myself out there.
Exactly. He's got to teach you the
right ins and outs of how to talk to the athletes.
How to act. Definitely don't know how to do that. All right. You're here on behalf of Gatorade Fast Twitch. I got one of these bad boys here. I see caffeine and electrolytes.
Yeah.
Austin is a, you know, he's a good clean guy. I like to, you know, maybe have some fun. This might be good for me.
I think it's the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
You know, he's a good clean guy. I consider myself a good clean guy. But you know, if you like energy drinks and like Monster stuff like that, you can also, you know, tap over into that world. Because I mean, having electrolytes and having caffeine, you know, it's good. It's like, you know, wake up in the morning or right before you're going to work out or play in the game. So it's a little bit of both.
I think the reason I don't do it is because I'm already too juiced up. So if I had it, I might be like over the top, you know, I might get the eye twitch going and stuff like that. So
I've already seen the eye twitch many times on the other end.
I'm just like, hey guys, you guys ready to go? You know, the jitters, but no, good stuff, man. Awesome.
No sugar either.
Oh yeah, let's go.
Well, that's impressive. Here, you can have that.
Yeah, hold on to it. Thanks, man.
Yeah, appreciate you.
Yeah.
Miles, man, one thing I wanted to ask you about was Jacoby Brissett. Mm-hmm. You know, started a lot of games for you guys this year. He's a free agent this year as well. A lot of teams, you know, potentially looking for help at quarterback. What did he bring to you guys? I think he really outkicked expectations this year.
He did. I mean, I think he played himself into a starting role, you know, wherever he goes to next. And he looked good for his time. You know, for, you know, what he knew of his situation, he knew that he wasn't going to have that starting role, but he still attacked it, you know, every single day, whether it was practice, whether it was a game. You know, he made the most of those opportunities. You know, he was a great leader and something that, you know, offensive side needed a lot of, you know, coming off of, you know, a quarterback switch and, you know, a tumultuous year with, you know, guys coming in and out. You know, he really, you know, brought a kind of, you know, authority figure, someone to look up to, someone to respect, and you know, really to you know, go see and get some guidance, because you know, you had a lot of guys who are younger coming in. Now we got in the draft, and you know, they really needed someone to speak to and help see them through the process.
Right. You know what I was surprised by is this man is low-key like elusive and can run. Like, he's a big dude, right? Like
he stepped out of so many sacks where
I was just talking about Justin Fields just on here. I'm like, it's so annoying when these quarterbacks get out and run. You know, you're going after him. You're running. I'm like, it's so annoying when you're on the sideline and the quarterbacks are elusive and they start running or they slip through the tackles. I'm like, come on, man. I remember, you know, just watching him play and just like, how is this guy getting around? And then he's skirting down the sideline, man.
I'm like, Jacoby. Like, after the first game, I was like, you didn't tell us you weren't fast.
Right.
Like, we just assumed. I'm like, there's no way you got out in the open field and that was your full speed.
Right.
He was like, I didn't tell you I was fast. Right. But he was like, they're not going to take me down. I was like, hey, if you can guarantee me that, we're cool. But, when I speak to pass rushers, like, I spoke to Vaughn, and, he told me that Jacoby was one of the hardest to take down,
mm-hmm.
like, across the league.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you see it, you know, game after game, he was just, you know, stepping out of sacks, you know, spinning guys off or shrugging guys off. It's like, you know, he has, you know, that power to sit in the pocket and just, you know, deliver throws without being undeterred because he knows he can get out and slip out of stuff like that.
I mean, the quarterback sneak, too. Even when he wasn't starting games, he was, like, being thrown out there in those situations because he's that good at, you know, Jalen Hurts in the Super Bowl. The Eagles are, like, a dominant quarterback sneak team. But Jacoby, pretty damn good at that, too.
I think Jacoby would have been number one. No, especially, you know, if he would have finished out the year.
Right.
And I mean, I think we went, like 10 and 11 or something like that at a time with QB sneaks.
Wow.
So we missed one, but
yeah.
I mean, the guy, I mean, once he gets a little push, you know, going, he's finding a way to, you know, either fall through a gap or go over someone. I mean, that guy's powerful at the quarterback position.
What do you guys think about this, now that we're talking about the quarterback sneak thing, because I know that's going to be like a potential rule talking point in the offseason, like when they get all the guys like behind Jalen and they just kind of like push his ass over the fourth or third down line, they get the first down. You guys like cool with that, or do we need to like make a rule to not do that?
No, I keep that in. I mean,
I agree with you.
Why'd you take it out? I mean, that's just part of the hustle and the, you know, continue to, you know, drive your legs. It's stuff we're taught from, you know, high school and college. You know, if you're on the defensive side of the ball, that's the same thing you're trying to do. You either cut them low or you got to keep on driving them back. The rule that I was seeing that I wouldn't want, you know, taken out was you grab them from behind. It's like a desperation tackle. You're trying to keep them from getting the first down, and you kind of drop your body. Well, I think it's called a hip drop or something like that.
Yeah, that's it.
But, I mean, it's not like we're attempting to land on people's legs.
Right.
But it's a violent sport.
Yeah.
So, you know, unexpected things happen. So, I hope they don't take it out because that's just more stuff for us to avoid, especially rushing the passer.
You can
only hit guys in, like, this – like
right.
8-inch strike zone, so gotta see what they.
You like
they
you gotta buy him dinner first before you tackle.
Right,
like what
right,
are what
right,
are we
right.
doing here?
Yeah, first you gotta serenade him. You gotta dance around the tackle, and then you gotta lay him down.
Tuck him in,
kiss him good night.
Get him a couple of blankets. Make sure he's got his head elevated on the pillow. Yeah, no, I wanted to ask you that because I thought that was crazy when I saw a few like. Take artist being like, we need to reimagine the quarterback sneak rules. Cause, and I'm glad you could say that as a defensive lineman too.
I mean, he literally just getting behind him and pushing. No, not every team's going to do that, but you know, you have plenty of guys who are going to submarine and shoot at guys, you know, knees and ankles who could stop that. I mean, there's ways to stop it. It's not like that's a overly violent like play or event during the game. It'll just. I feel like we try to overthink things, you know, as far as rulemaking. I don't think players try to overthink things, but you know, as far as you know, people trying to look out for our safety, there are some things that you just can't touch because you're just taking away the essence of the game.
Right.
Yeah, 100%. Like football's still always going to be football. Miles, last thing for you before we let you go. I was reading the other day about your relationship with your dog, Gohan. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a nice name, Gohan.
Big bond with the dog. I'm a big dog guy too. I got two. We rescued one pretty recently, the last couple years ago. What has that relationship been like for you?
I mean, it's been great. I mean, I got him in Missouri, and there was a breeder that hit me up a couple of years before, and I was thinking, man, I finally got this house. I finally got this house, finally got this big old yard, and it was kind of lonely.
Yeah.
And
that's why I got my first one, too. I was like, you know, it's just me here. It'd be nice to have somebody to bounce some ideas off of.
Yeah, so I got a two-story house. I got no one to talk to. And I'm thinking, why not just take this drive to Missouri and pick up a pup? And he was eight weeks, German Shepherd.
Okay,
nice.
And he was a full black German Shepherd. And
beautiful dog. I saw the pictures. It was a beautiful dog.
He's got his own Instagram channel.
He does.
Yeah, I feel like that's like a thing nowadays. Like everyone's
Juju started it.
Yeah, put the dog on the gram. They got a whole channel now. They got more followers than me and stuff. You know.
I mean, people love dogs. I don't know what it is. It's like people love dogs more than we love ourselves.
Yeah.
And so
it's crazy.
I was like, yo, I gotta give the people what they want. Yeah, it is that loyalty. I mean, he's a loyal pup. Yeah. And I've taken him pretty much everywhere. Everywhere I can take him, I've tried to. My family loves him, and I mean he's just fun. I mean he always has energy. You know, win, lose, or draw, you can always expect your dog to greet you the same way.
Right,
exactly.
And love on you.
Exactly.
Well, hey Miles, we appreciate your time, man. Good luck this off season. Stay healthy and go crush it this year, man.
Yeah, appreciate you.
Thanks for coming on, brother.
All right, Austin, that was awesome. I feel like I learned a ton. Feel like we got some great names on the
pod. We had some fun.
Man. That was awesome.
We had some fun all year, though. I feel like it was a good show. Like, there's some shows that you get on, you're like, I gotta do this show. You know, this one's like, yo, let's get our script, right? Get our script. See the rundown, and let's bang it out tomorrow. Let's get it done.
Yeah, you know? Next year I would like you to provide us the week by week script before Eckler's Edge, so that way we could really remember the first 3 weeks when you weren't scoring touchdowns or whatever?
Yeah.
It really would have been helpful for you to tell me that was going to happen for the first 3 weeks.
Well, that's what made it exciting. It was like, okay, Austin, this is what happened. You're going to have people lose faith in you. You're not getting any touchdowns. Week 3, people are going to be like, oh, you're a bust. You suck. And then you're going to come back and score 20.
I drafted this guy in 5th overall for him not to score any touchdowns. Yeah.
Oh, man. But it's been a fun show. I appreciate you, coming on. And for our first year, I feel like it was hard to beat. You know, Liz last year, you this year, I feel like neck and neck,
So I would love to just take it to the next level, keep it moving, keep things going, man. It was a great year. I appreciated you. I feel like I learned a lot about football, learned a lot about life. And, I think dare I say, we're kind of pals now.
I think so, man.
Yeah,
I agree.
All right, cool.
We're having a moment right here.
Oh, wow. Should we hug it out before the show ends?
I think, come on. Bring it in. Look at this. Oh,
that's good stuff. All right, man.
And well, then for next year, man, we can run it back.
Dude, let's do it.
Let's run it back.
Let's
do it, man. All right.
Eckler's Edge. That's a wrap on the 2022 Season 2 edition of Eckler's Edge.
Yes.
What a show.
What a show, man.
Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody.
That's a wrap.
We are out.